Ebenezer Operation Exodus, a Christian organisation helping the Jewish people return to Israel. International Bulletin 2, 2025, The Glory of Adonai. Picture is of a golden orangey dusk sky above the streets of Jerusalem with the Kotel in the foreground. Two pictures top page 2. One with Jana at the airport in Uzbekistan with a family of 5 making aliyah. The second shows Yanya distributing food parcels in Ukraine with a man and a little boy. The caption across the top of page 2 and 3 reads, "The glory of Adonai filled the house of Adonai." The international report from Philip Homburg, chairman of the international board, then follows.
"And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." 1 Kings 8, verses 10 to 11.
On New Year's Day 2025, as I was reading my Bible and praying for a scripture for the new year, or at least for the first part of this year, the scripture above caught my attention. It is my habit to read my Bible aloud in my quiet time if I can. In this way, in addition to reading the words with my eyes, I also speak them with my mouth and hear them with my ears. What an amazing passage! The glory of the Lord, his holy presence and power, was so tangible and strong, filling the temple so that the priests could not continue. My prayer that day, as well as now, when I am writing these lines, is that Ebenezer Operation Exodus, this part of the house of the Lord, would be filled with the glory of the Lord. Our supreme goal is to glorify the God of Israel and to sanctify his name. We do this by serving the Lord in the Aliyah, through prayer, practical assistance to the Jewish people, and proclaiming the message of Aliyah to the church. Together with the Jewish people, we are God's witnesses. The God of Israel is the living God, the only true God who proclaims,
"I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." Isaiah 44, verse 6.
We can trust his word completely. He keeps his promises without exception. King Solomon expresses this well in his prayer of dedication.
"You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day." 1 Kings 8, verse 24.
God's name is glorified when he fulfills his word. As more and more Jewish people from all over the world return to Israel, it is clear evidence that God is keeping his promises. He is doing it for his holy name's sake. The picture at the bottom of page 2 shows the Mishkan, with God's glory displayed as golden light cloud over the Holy of Holies. The report then continues on page 3. The word house can refer to actual buildings. For example, King David's palace in Jerusalem, the tabernacle, the first and second temples. But house can also refer to a family or a nation. We read about the house of David, which means David's family, especially his descendants down to the ultimate son of David, the Messiah. We read about the house of Israel, referring to the Jewish people, right through history to our own time. It is in the second meaning that we can speak of the house of Ebenezer, or the family of Ebenezer. And it is the prayer of my heart that this house of the Lord, called Ebenezer Operation Exodus, would be filled with the glory of the Lord. When we continue to take hold of the prophetic promises regarding Aliyah and give ourselves to pray and intercede in agreement with the word of God for the return of the Jewish people, we pursue God's calling for us, his mandate to Ebenezer. The return of the Jewish people to Israel brings glory to the Lord's name. When we reach out to Jewish people in the nations with compassion through our fishing activities, sharing the Aliyah message and distributing food parcels, and when we help them to get to a consul or an airport with their luggage, these are examples of how we can comfort the Jewish people. encourage them to make Aliyah, and help them in various ways in Israel. We pursue God's calling for us. When we share the Aliyah message with fellow believers, when we try to get speaking engagements in churches and Christian groups, when we invite pastors and leaders to an Ebenezer event, or when we arrange a seminar or event for the next generation, these are all important ways to engage the unengaged and reach the unreached. The Apostle Paul had a burden to declare the full counsel of God to the elders at Ephesus.
For I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the whole plan of God. Acts 20, verse 27.
We pursue God's calling for us. It is, however, important that you and I serve the Lord with humble hearts and not with pride or an attitude of knowing it all. We need soft hearts, a willingness to confess and repent, love for those we engage with, and patience to follow our vision of being the Lord's servants and intercessors, helping the Jewish people return to the land of Israel from all nations and to proclaim God's kingdom purposes for their return. We can see this humility in King Solomon when he prays at the dedication of the first temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Several times he prays, "When you hear, forgive." At one point he even prays, "When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin." And the Jewish people are taken captive to the lands of the enemy. Here, the prayer gives us a model for Aliyah. 1. Yet when they come to themselves. 2. And repent and make supplication to you. 3. When they return to you with all their heart and all their soul. 4. Then hear their prayer, maintain their cause, and forgive your people. We are assured that God will maintain the cause of his people because he promises that he will gather them out of all countries and says,
"Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul." Jeremiah 32, verse 41.
The glory of the Lord will fill the house of the Lord. There then follow three key words. The first is Aliyah. This is the word for the immigration of Jewish people from the diaspora to the land of Israel. The word in Hebrew means ascent and is defined as going up, progressing towards Jerusalem. Olim means Jewish immigrants to Israel, those making Aliyah. In the singular, a male immigrant is called an Olah and a female immigrant an Olah. Potential Olim are those our teams contact and encourage to make Aliyah. Klitta concerns the absorption of Olim after they have arrived in Israel. It includes all aspects of integrating into society, including learning Hebrew, finding employment and housing, school enrolment, and serving in the Israel Defence Forces, IDF. There are two pictures on page 3. One shows Vadim and three other men carrying heavy food parcels from the back of a van into a building. The second shows Janya again and another Ebenezer volunteer distributing food parcels to five smiling ladies, three of whom are holding up Ebenezer leaflets about Aliyah. Picture across the top of page 4 shows Vadim and Sergei with five smiley-faced Ukrainians, two male and three female, one in a wheelchair, headed to Israel. The caption reads, "A War-Torn Nation." The report from Johannes Bartels, Regional Coordinator for Europe, FSU and Israel concerning Ukraine follows.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16.
February the 24th, 2022, was a wake-up call for the nations. The COVID crisis was not over yet when the largest refugee movement caused by the Russian aggression against Ukraine hit the world unprepared. Whilst the general public is tired of hearing about the war with all its consequences and is hoping for some sort of peaceful resolution, we have to ask ourselves how this affects us as a ministry. I want to thank God for our team in Ukraine under the leadership of Vadim. They have been faithful and committed to blessing the Jewish community. They have helped thousands of Olim and visited thousands of Jewish people, bringing them food parcels, blankets and good clothes, and providing Aliyah advice. Our team helps people who have been evacuated from the front lines, who have lost family members, or who had to resettle to safer areas. Ebenezer teams from the West have visited our team and participated in the food parcel distribution. But what counts is that the Holy Spirit gives strength and shalom to our team so they can be powerful instruments in his hand. We should continue praying for our workers in the knowledge that we have a God who hears our cry. In the past 16 months, we have been able to distribute over 5,000 food parcels. These are a blessing for the recipients and an encouragement for those who distribute them, because they experience how they are used to bring hope and comfort. The harsh circumstances could lead to passivity because, on a human level, there is no way to influence them. But in blessing others, we do the exact opposite of what the enemy wants and destroy evil plans. May the Lord grant us wisdom and abundant provision to continue until the task is fulfilled. Please pray for 1. Continued strength for our team. 2. Physical protection on the road, where they drive thousands of miles, sometimes in critical areas. 3. Preparedness in case of a sudden high demand for transportation on new Aliyah highways, vehicles, drivers, and overnight accommodation. 2 pictures are at the bottom of page 4. 1 with Vadim seated at a table with an Ola doing paperwork. The second shows 2 men unloading food from the back of a van for distribution in Ukraine. The picture across the top of page 5 shows a passport in the distance and a hand close up holding a wooden-handled stamp. The caption reads, "Unwavering dedication." The report from Vadim, Ukrainian National Coordinator, follows. This is the Aliyah story of a family from Kiev, which encouraged me personally. Sergei, aged 57, was one of the many men not allowed to leave Ukraine. However, his 83-year-old mother, Maya, suffered from dementia, which meant that, as her carer, he could be eligible to leave. We bought them train tickets to Moldova, from where they would fly to Israel. I drove them to a train station in Kiev in October 2024. The next morning, Sergei rang and told me that the border officers did not allow him to cross because they allegedly could not verify Maya's dementia certificate. On top of that, as they were unloading their luggage, Maya fell and suffered a hip fracture. This diagnosis typically means surgery and several months of bed rest. For Sergei and Maya, this would have meant postponing their Aliyah indefinitely. However, the family was determined not to let this hinder their return to Israel. They agreed with the airline that, despite the trauma, Maya would occupy only one seat on the plane. Normally, for bedridden passengers, airlines provide a special bed that takes up 6 seats. There was a second part to this story. Sergei's father, aged 84, his wife and their dog and cat in Kiev, were supposed to take a train to Moldova the day after Sergei and Maya's crossing. They were now waiting to see whether Sergei would be permitted to cross. They decided to cross the border, not knowing if Sergei would make it. I took them to the train station, and Pavel from Moldova picked them up. Sergei and Maya decided to attempt crossing a second time. Maya was laying on a mattress in the van, which was the best we could do with our limited time. After waiting several hours, Sergei was finally permitted to leave, and they continued their travel to Chisinau, the capital of Moldova. A few days later, they all flew to Israel. The next day, Maya underwent surgery and began her recovery. The family's unwavering dedication to making Aliyah, despite all the obstacles thrown in their way, amazed me. The fact that Maya received surgery the day after her arrival seemed like God honouring her passion and eagerness to make Aliyah. There are two pictures at the bottom of page 5 showing Sergei and Maya in the minibus with their belongings on the way to the airport. Maya is lying flat in the van, well wrapped and cosy with a head pillow. The picture across the top of page 6 and 7 is of a ripe field of wheat, with a man and two little boys gazing across it with their rucksacks on their backs. The caption reads, "Aliyah, a story of generations."
"And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you." Genesis 17, verse 7.
The report follows on page 6 from Sergei, Ebenezer, Ukraine. This story begins in the 1920s. Abram was a highly educated resident of Yekaterinoslav, who ran a Jewish school. Persecution and pogroms led Abram to make a difficult decision. With his two daughters, he travelled to Palestine to settle in the land promised by God to his people. His goal was to eventually bring his wife, Bluma, and their two sons, who initially remained in their house. Unfortunately, Abram and Bluma would not meet again until the end of their lives. Abram and his daughters were tested in the land flowing with milk and honey, witnessing the birth and formation of Zionist organisations and movements in the fight against Arab terrorist groups until the formation of the State of Israel. Bluma and her boys also went through much hardship, living through the period of the executed Renaissance, through the dark time of the Holodomor, a mass famine in Soviet Ukraine, and its consequences, and other horrors of the 1930s. The youngest son, Israel, bearing a prophetic name for the family, was gifted in languages. At the age of 6, he could speak and read French, Yiddish, and Hebrew. By the age of 40, he had amassed a huge library, becoming a renowned bookseller. Israel was mobilised to the war front, and in 1942, his family was evacuated to Kazakhstan. During one of the bombings of Dnipropetrovsk, many of his books were burnt or destroyed by looters. In 1944, the family returned from evacuation. In 1946, Israel and his wife, Tzilia, had a son, Ilya. Because Israel's health was poor due to a serious war injury, Ilya grew up without his father's support, but found help and care through relatives. Ilya married Raisa, and in 1969 they had a daughter, Alyssa, who was able to get a good education. Everything changed in February 2022. Air raid sirens, explosions, people leaving their homes and escaping the country, some burned out and broke down, unable to bear the sight of violence and lawlessness, pain and suffering of the innocent. This happened to Alyssa, Ilya's and Raisa's only daughter. In this period of immense struggle, the family decided to move to Israel. The picture at the bottom of page 6 shows a smiley-faced Sergei outside beside the van with Ilya and Raisa. Documents, archives, consular meetings, preparation of transportation, flight arrangements. Despite all efforts, Alyssa did not manage to see the promised land. She passed away. It took Ilya, who was 76 at that time, and his wife Raisa 3 months to recover. Despite losing their daughter, they eventually moved to Israel. We thank the Lord that we witnessed and participated in this amazing Aliyah story by God's mercy and love. Sergei, who wrote this report, has facilitated the Aliyah of many Olim through his courageous service as a driver. In February, he was stopped by the army and deployed on the same day. Please stand with us in prayer for 1, Sergei's release from the military, and for his wife, Nathalie, and their family.
So out of pity for him, the master let him go and forgave the debt. Matthew 18, verse 27.
2, our Ukraine team to find strength in the Lord. wisdom regarding where and when to travel, and the other male team members who the army could stop at any time. 3. Drivers and representatives to cover the Dnipro and Odessa regions, where we have been looking for helpers for a long time, so that we will be able to help with all Olim transfer requests we receive. Halfway down page 7, the title, A Family Reunited, followed by the report from Pavel, National Coordinator in Moldova. Last November, I received a call from Alexander, who had come from Israel to bring his father, Hirsch, aged 90, from Tiraspol to Israel. Alexander asked for help with his father's paperwork. Alexander made Aliyah 5 years ago from Russia, where he had lived for 10 years and met a girl from Kazakhstan. They left for Israel with one child and settled in the north, not far from the border with Lebanon. There, they had 2 more children. He was worried for his family because of the frequent shelling. They spent much time in shelters. Ebenezer Moldova helped to arrange Hirsch's documents, and in December 2024, I brought Hirsch and his son to the airport in Chisinau. The shelling in Israel had stopped, and Alexander was relieved that Hirsch would not have to hear the sirens and run to the shelter. A few days later, Alexander sent a photo of his father, Hirsch, with his grandchildren, whom he met for the first time. Praise the Lord who gathers his people in the land of Israel. The picture at the bottom of page 7 shows Alexander standing behind his father, Hirsch, who's in a wheelchair, at a very crowded airport. The picture across the top of page 8 shows 3 police vans and armed and helmeted police officers in the streets of France. The caption reads, Anti-Semitism in France. The report from Bernadette Troubadeau, chairman of Ebenezer France, follows.
For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, Fear not, I will help you. Isaiah 41, verse 13.
The number of anti-Semitic incidents across France has recently quadrupled, and the situation has been deteriorating for 2 decades. The atmosphere towards the Jewish people is becoming unbearable. The primary responsibility lies with far-left political supporters and others such as the Socialist Party, the Greens and the Communist Party, who remain silent when Israel is a victim and use any opportunity to condemn Israel. Over the past month, vandalism has increased in major cities such as Marseille and Saint-Nazaire. Unacceptable inscriptions have degraded buildings and schools. There is an explosion of testimonies from Jewish people who no longer feel safe in France, who have had their homes tagged because of mezuzah, who are withdrawing their children from schools, stressed Minister Aurora Berger, deploring the re-emergence of a form of anti-Semitism that feeds on hatred of Israel and is called anti-Zionism, urging society to take a stand against anti-Semitism. A giant anti-Zionist Marseille graffiti on a building at La Timone, Marseille's largest hospital, provoked a strong reaction from the local right wing. I strongly condemn those responsible for damaging a building in the heart of Marseille. Anti-Zionism, the unbearable veneer of anti-Semitism, has no place in Marseille in the southern region, said Renaud Muselet, president of that region. Within the French government, ministers are taking a stand against anti-Semitism. This is important and encourages us as intercessors to continue praying for our authorities so our Jewish communities can live in safety and prepare to make Aliyah in good conditions. After we received positive feedback from the Aliyah group flight last December, Ebenezer France, together with Christians for Israel International, plans to finance 4 to 5 Olim group flights in 2025 and offer airport transfers from many French cities and help Olim in various practical ways. This statement of support for the Jewish people in France may encourage them to follow the more than 2,000 French Olim who made Aliyah in 2024. Please pray for our team and the Aliyah group flights from France planned for 2025. The picture bottom right of page 8 shows graffiti reading "Anti-Zionist Marseille" on a building at Latimone, Marseille's largest hospital. The picture across the top of page 9 shows Marcy with his new friends, a group of 11 young men and women holding the Israeli flag. The caption reads, "The Dream of Aliyah." The report by Susanna Kiss from the Hungary team follows. Thank God that through the Jewish Agency, we could help Olim who needed financial support to make Aliyah this year. Two of the Olim we helped were Marcy and Tivadar. Marcy, aged 30, wanted to start a family, and as a religious Zionist, it was a long-held wish to do so in Israel. He worked from a young age and graduated from the Jewish University of Budapest with a degree in Judaic Studies. Tivadar, aged 53, says, "My desire to return to the land of my ancestors goes back more than 15 years. My grandmother is a Holocaust survivor. Without the liberation of the concentration camp, my mother, who has always tried to keep our family's Jewish identity alive, would not exist. I want to move to Eilat and start a new life in the land of my people. Please pray that 1. The Olim will be able to put their roots down there. 2. We hear God's word and guidance to help his chosen people make Aliyah." Halfway down the page, the heading, "Countries we supported in Aliyah during 2024. Over 32,000 Jewish people made Aliyah last year. Thanks to your support and prayers, we were able to help over 20% of all Olim return from the highlighted countries. Thank you." There's a colourful map of the world showing a Star of David in the American and European countries that Ebenezer were able to assist, 27 altogether. A special thank you to Christians for Israel in the Netherlands, who we partner with in several countries.
"Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, for though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them back to their own land, not leaving any behind." Ezekiel 39, verse 28.
There's then an advertisement for a special Israel tour in 2026 from the 19th to the 27th of January. It's entitled "See Biblical Prophecy Being Fulfilled." There's a 50% discount for pastors, and more information is available at lowercase ebenezer-oe.org/events. The picture across the top of page 10 shows the sign for Buenos Aires International Airport and the reflection of an aeroplane in the sky. The caption reads, "Aliyah from Argentina." The report from Raúl Ruili, president of Ebenezer Argentina, then follows.
"Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41, verse 10.
Israel, Cynthia, Sophia and Sol had a strong desire to emigrate to the land of Israel. For the family, reaching Israel was a dream they discussed at every Jewish feast and Shabbat. When the time came to make the decision to leave, they did not hesitate to approach the Jewish Agency of Buenos Aires, but their decision came with a long list of expenses, a real challenge for the family. A friend from the Jewish community told them about Ebenezer and that we were a Christian organisation which helped and loved the Jewish people. When I met them, I told them about the hundreds of families we've helped who today live happily in Israel. They did not hesitate to ask for help. We are always thankful for each family that arrives at our offices in Buenos Aires and tells us how their desire to return to Israel was born. For many years, Cynthia helped survivors of the Shoah in Argentina, working in the Tzedaka Foundation, program of aid to survivors of the Shoah. She told us there were still about 150 survivors who at a very young age had to go through several concentration camps, suffering the most perverse atrocities one cannot imagine. Many of them still need assistance, a lot of love, and in some cases humanitarian aid. Cynthia gave her life to their service and still remembers them with great emotion. Last May, the family arrived in Israel. The first 15 days were spent at the Dirat Kelet, a place of help for newcomers who require it. Then they were able to rent their first house. Cynthia told us they received so much help and so many gifts that the house in Israel was more complete than the one they had in Argentina. Israel also told us that when they left, he was concerned about finding work. 2 weeks after their arrival, he got a job where he feels very comfortable. God is faithful. His word and his promise to his people endure forever. There are two pictures at the bottom of page 10. The first shows a very smiley family of Israel, Cynthia, Sophia, and Sol. And the second shows Raoul and another Ebenezer volunteer at the Ebenezer base, all wearing Ebenezer t-shirts. The picture across the top of page 11 shows our amazing and wonderful international board. From left to right, Heriberto Gonzalez, Nicholas Coates, Gianluca Malotti, Gary Carr, Philip Homburg, Abby Oman. A brief history then follows from two of the members, Philip Homburg and Heriberto Gonzalez. I am Philip from Sweden. I succeeded Pete Stuckan as chairman at the beginning of 2023. My wife Ulla, a nurse midwife, and I have been married for 49 years. We have 5 children, but our youngest daughter Ulrika passed away 5 years ago. We have 7 grandchildren. I grew up in a missionary family. My parents served in China and India. Ulla and I also served in Bhutan for 5 years in the 1980s. I was a teacher and headmaster for most of my professional life. We are so grateful to be a part of Ebenezer. At the same time, we need your prayers. I am Heriberto Gonzalez from Mexico. I have been part of Ebenezer since 1999 and have had the honour and privilege of being a member of the International Board for more than 10 years. My wife Letitia and I have been married for 38 years. We have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. I became a born-again Christian in 1975, during a powerful revival time in a local Methodist church. With a background in accounting and administration, I worked as an executive in different companies for 34 years, and also, until now, a senior pastor in a local church for the past 23 years. Please pray for the board and executive team. 1. To be a team in fellowship, unity, grace, love, in serving and in action. 2. To be shepherds in submission to the chief shepherd. 3. To have deep concern for our teams in every nation and region.
And besides these external matters, there is the daily pressure of my anxious concern for all of the congregations. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28.
4. To reach the unreached by sharing the message of Aliyah.
I have always made it my ambition to proclaim the good news where the Messiah was not yet known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation, but rather, as the Tanakh puts it, those who have not been told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Romans 15, verses 20 to 21.
5. That we never forget that all the work that God is doing through us from beginning to end is to display his glory and bring honour and praise to his great name. 6. For a spirit of wisdom and revelation. There are then 2 advertisements at the bottom of page 11. The first says, stay updated, follow us across our digital media platforms and never miss an update. On Facebook, Ebenezer OE International, and on Instagram, Ebenezer _ OE _ ENG. Then on YouTube and Telegram, search Ebenezer, Operation Exodus. Then there is a reminder of the new children's story available on the Ebenezer website and after the org/children, and a little reminder that you can listen to the bulletin on the website too. The picture across the top of page 12 shows a light and airy sitting room with comfy sofas and cushions. The caption reads, Beit Yonah Ashdod. The report by Colin Ross of the Israel team follows.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Jonah 2, verse 7.
As I write, we are anticipating the arrival of new Olim to spend the first few weeks of their new life at Beit Yonah Ashdod. When Alina and her children arrived, we sat by the big windows overlooking the sea, having coffee and cake together. Agata, Alina's 11-year-old daughter, saw a guitar hanging in the corner and asked if she could play. Her playing was delightful, not in the way that it is sometimes delightful to hear children play instruments rather poorly. Agata's playing was truly delightful. Alina has relatives nearby, so they spent much of their time with them. God has, it seems, made a way for these new Israelis. Today, we heard of Alex and another Alina, who will come to Ashdod in a few weeks. Their daughter lives in Ashdod and recently came to check us out and take photographs. Rather better than I expected, was her verdict. Is it possible to have a barbecue in the garden? She asked. It seems that there are some festive times ahead. When the prophet Yonah was spat out by the huge fish on the beach of Israel, he was given a second chance by God to obey the call which he had been given. Tradition says that this took place on the beach of Ashdod. The Ebenezer House for New Olim in Ashdod is called Beit Yonah Ashdod, as a memorial to the prophet and in recognition of the new opportunity being given to the Jewish people as they return to make a home in the land of Israel. We are beginning to welcome Olim, and it is a comfortable place to stay. However, there are still many things to be done. I can hear noises from upstairs as a new kitchen is being assembled on the top floor, where I live with my wife, Rosie. It will be good for us to have a space where we can escape from the continual demands of the house. We're hoping this will be soon. There's then a picture that shows the rear of Beit Yonah Ashdod. Our vision is to be servants and intercessors of the Lord, to help the Jewish people return to the land of Israel from all the nations, and to proclaim God's kingdom purposes for their return. All articles in this publication are copyright to Ebenezer Emergency Fund International, April 2025. Operation Exodus is the operational part of Ebenezer Emergency Fund International. Started in 1991 with just three people, it now has representatives in 50 countries worldwide. The Ebenezer Operation Exodus International and UK office has an address of P.O. Box 9103 in Bournemouth, postcode BH19DA, and that's in the United Kingdom. The telephone number is +44 a 0 in brackets, 1202-294455. The email is hello@ebenezer-ef.org, and the website address is www.ebenezer-oe.org.